Blog Talk Radio.
Rock up in Hollywood, the lead in Hollywood.
And thank you for choosing King Jordan Radio for this January, Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. I am your host, King Jordan. And now let me bring in our wrestling insider, all the way from Chicago, the host with the most, JJ joins us. JJ, good evening. How are you, sir?
Well, King, I can't say I'm too happy, but I think you know why. But, you know, it's always great to be on the King Jordan Show. We got a lot to talk about the Royal Rumble, about the WWE Championship situation. A lot of great stuff to talk about tonight.
Oh, no question. And let's start off with that. The audio while I was playing, Vince McMahon actually was not too impressed with Cena's victory. Why don't you walk us through exactly what I was going through in the preceding ending of The Rock versus CM Punk?
Well, this is the main event for the WWE Championship. It was the epic clash of the sports entertainer versus the wrestler. The Rock took on CM Punk, and Vince made the stipulation that if the Shield were to interfere in this match at any point, at any time, if they would cost The Rock the chance to be WWE champion, Vince would strip CM Punk of the WWE championship. His 434 days as the undefeated WWE champion. And unfortunately, there was a moment during the match where the lights went out, the arena was black, you couldn't see a thing, and somehow The Rock might have accidentally slipped and fallen and went through a table. I didn't see it. The lights were out. I couldn't tell you what happened. Nobody saw what happened. But then CM Punk brought Rock back into the ring. He pinned him for the 1, 2, 3, and he retained his WWE championship. But Vince McMahon came strolling down the aisle, and then he said that the Shield interfered in his match, and if the Shield interfered in his match, he would be stripped of the title. And he was just about to strip him of the championship when, believe it or not, of all people, The Rock would join in, and he would say, Vince, you're not going to strip him of the title. I am. Restart the match. And that's exactly what Vince McMahon did. He restarted the match. Rock went back into the ring. Punk and him went at it. They went at it furiously. They just beat the hell out of each other. Rock with his punches, Punk with his jiu-jitsu kicks, and unfortunately for CM Punk, who said that the people don't matter, The Rock planted Punk in the middle of the ring, and he hit him with the people's elbow, and he defeated CM Punk and ended his 434 days as WWE champion.
Totally incredible that he surpassed that, right?
It's pretty amazing. It hasn't been done in the last 25 years. I mean, Punk is up there with some of the greatest superstars of professional wrestling. He has surpassed so many people. He surpassed Bret Hart, he surpassed Shawn Michaels, he surpassed Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, he surpassed his idol, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, he surpassed Diesel, he surpassed the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, he was right up there with the best.
The list goes on and on. But let's get into the Royal Rumble, but before we do, let's bring in a man who he's been in the wrestling business for over 30-plus years. Let's bring in the man, none other than Blackjack Brown via Chicago Sun Times. Blackjack, how are you tonight?
How are you, King?
Okay, say hello to JJ.
JJ, how are you, my brother?
Hey, Blackjack, how's it going, man? I was checking out your article in the Sun Times paper this Sunday. Great stuff, man.
I didn't do too bad with this one.
That's right.
Now, the Royal Rumble itself, JJ, why don't you walk the listeners through what actually happened during that?
Well, the Royal Rumble was probably one of the better Rumbles that we've seen in the past few years. There were a few surprises, which was great. Dolph Ziggler was the first entry in the Royal Rumble. He won a series of matches on Monday Night Raw, which he could pick his spot. But unfortunately, Vicky Guerrero informed him that he would be picking his spot in the Royal Rumble, but he would be doing it between numbers one and number two. And Dolph being the show stealer said, you know what, I'm going to win the Rumble, I'm going to do it as number one. So Dolph Ziggler started off the Royal Rumble, and then the second entry came and the lights went out, and all we could see was a glowing jacket by the entrance ramp, and it was Chris Jericho who made his return to the WWE. It was a huge shock. Jericho would shoot down rumors of a WWE return on his Twitter. He would say that he's too busy touring with Fozzy, he's going to Australia, he hasn't got time for the WWE, he won't make it for WrestleMania, he's very sorry. But yet, there he was in the middle of the arena, and he was in the Royal Rumble. He went head-to-head with Dolph Ziggler, who he was feuded with before he left earlier last year. He was in a great program with Dolph Ziggler that led up to a big match at SummerSlam.
Right, right. So Cena winds up left alone with Ryback, and why don't you walk us through the final moments of the Royal Rumble?
Well, one of the final moments of the Royal Rumble was down to the last two superstars, and actually the last four superstars was Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler was probably the Iron Man of Royal Rumble. He was one of the final four competitors, along with Sheamus, Ryback, and John Cena. And eventually it would come down between Ryback and John Cena. One of them would be headlining WrestleMania. This was Ryback's first Royal Rumble ever, and he was already one of the final two in the match. And they went head-to-head, you know, two bulls just going at full force at one another. The fans were kind of split. You know, Cena has his Team Nation fans, which, you know, they adore him, they support him, the hustle, loyalty, respect. And then Ryback, he's growing a following of his own. The fans, they love chanting, "Feed me more." And it just came to where it was John Cena. John Cena would throw Ryback out of the ring, over the top rope, and he will be going to WrestleMania 29 headlining, and he will be choosing which title he will be going for.
And Blackjack, what was your take of the whole Royal Rumble that you predicted, pretty much, right?
It really, it was a great, one of the greatest in years, and I definitely give it a 9.5. As far as 10 being the highest, and I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it delivered what they had to deliver.
Absolutely. And, of course, Goldust also made his return, JJ, right?
He got a huge pop.
Got a huge pop and everything.
Goldust got a huge reaction from the fans, and it was a great moment for him. He was another surprise entry. I don't think many people expected him to be there. And when his music hit, he came he ran down into the ring. And it was probably one of the best moments of the Rumble because he went face-to-face with his brother, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, really? He went face-to-face? I missed that part. What was that like?
That's something that I think wrestling fans have been wanting to see for years, ever since Goldust came back to the WWE, ever since Cody Rhodes was brought up to the main roster. They've never really had a match one-on-one, which is pretty amazing to think about because they've both been with the company for so long. And they've been in backstage segments where they kind of, you know, talk to each other, they make jokes or whatever, but they've never really been in a physical altercation, never one-on-one. And this was the first time that Goldust and Cody Rhodes went just at each other at the Royal Rumble. And it was pretty exciting. The fans were going nuts. Like Blackjack said, they gave him a huge pop. They were really into it. They just were really enjoying that.
Absolutely. And I think we got Captain Ivan joining us, making his debut on King Jordan Radio. Ivan, are you with us?
How you doing, guys? How you doing this evening?
We're doing pretty good. Ivan, you're on the phone with JJ and your partner, Blackjack Brown.
Captain, how's it going?
How you doing? What's up?
Not much. We're talking wrestling.
Yeah, I got three WWE DVDs today.
Oh, really? Which one?
For $5 a piece, I got Backlash, the one with Chris Benoit on cover from 2004, from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, from April
18, 2004. Right. Now, Yeah, go ahead, Ivan.
Breaking Point from 2009, and the very first Tables, Ladders, and Chairs from 2009.
Wow. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. Did you finish watching them all?
No, I just got it today.
Oh, you just got it. Oh, okay. So, Ivan, let's go. Before we go around the panel, what do you think the main event for WrestleMania is going to be?
The Rock against Cena.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's where The Rock took the belt.
And Cena's going to get the title.
You don't think he's going to job twice, 2 years in a row, right?
No.
Okay.
Maybe they might extend that contract, and everything is like so Twitter, everybody knows this and that. Everything is probably decided at the last minute.
Yeah.
You know, when was the last time that the belt was on someone that weighs more than 200 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, CM Punk, with all due respect, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, you know, guys like that have held the title. The Rock, who is a legend, who's a real Hall of Famer, has finally won the belt. Now, Ivan, do you remember the last time The Rock had the belt?
I think it was about 7 years ago.
7 years ago, right. He was making mention of that.
Ten years ago, I think.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. I think it was 2003.
Yeah. 2002. Yeah, The Rock defeated The Undertaker for his seventh WWE title, and it was July 2002, Vengeance.
Yeah.
And, let's also, at the end of Monday Night Raw yesterday, JJ, we had a huge surprise at the end.
Brock Lesnar.
Why don't you walk us on how we got to Brock Lesnar? How did it all transpire?
He should have been at the Royal Rumble to make his initial appearance back.
Yeah.
Lesnar.
It would have been a great surprise to have Lesnar at the Rumble, but the thing that was kind of interesting was, if you remember last year, a lot of people were expecting Lesnar to interfere in Rock Cena. But he
and
didn't.
Then he shows up the day after WrestleMania
he
on Monday Night Raw.
On Raw, and he did the same thing last night. He didn't show up the pay-per-view, but he did show up on Monday Night Raw to give people something to talk about. And what happened was Vince McMahon gave a performance review to Paul Heyman, and he was going to fire him. And before he could fire Paul Heyman, another one of Heyman guys showed up, and it wasn't CM Punk. It was Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar came out, was face-to-face with Vince McMahon, who was just about to fire Paul Heyman, and he planted him with a vicious F5.
Totally unbelievable, and what's your opinion with Brock Lesnar, guy? Who's he going to face at WrestleMania?
I think Brock Lesnar is going to work his way into the main event at Mania against Cena and The Rock. Three-way match.
If you see the poster, that gives all the indications that should be a three-way.
He's going to work his way up into a three-way match for the title. So there could be a possibility of Lesnar getting it, but I don't think so. I think probably Cena, but the way things are going nowadays, Lesnar, don't be surprised if he gets the title himself.
Now, did you see, we're going to switch gears to TNA right now, but you see Bubba Rudley and Brooke Hogan get married, and then it got stopped by Taz last week?
What's up with that?
Yeah. Did you see that, JJ?
JJ.
I believe that was 2 weeks ago, was the wedding between Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan.
Right, that was 2 weeks ago. Now, this week they're going to tape in Europe and the UK, actually, and it should be interesting.
Are they live or is that taped?
It's taped.
Okay.
Is it? Oh, it's taped? Okay.
It won't be live this week. They've already taped the matches for this Thursday.
Well, you got this guy who's a business lawyer or something. What's his name? Chris? No, that's this guy who's going to fight this for the first time. What's his name?
I forgot his name also. He's not too popular, this guy, is he?
Yeah, well, he had that meeting with Hulk Hogan and or JB, one of those guys there in TNA, and he said that he's going to wrestle this week. So you guys don't know what the story is with him. So in terms of back to WWE, What did you give the pay-per-view, JJ, on a scale of 1 to 10?
You know, for a Royal Rumble, they had excellent matches. They had Big Show, Alberto Del Rio, last man standing. Big Show, you know, he did a great job with Del Rio. They had a nice little moment. It was a pretty decent tag match. The Royal Rumble itself was great. It was fun.
What was the tag match again, then?
What?
What was the tag match?
The what? The tag
the
match
tag
was...
The tag match, what was that?
That was for the WWE... Team Hell No versus Road Seller.
Oh, okay. And how'd that work out?
Yeah, that was a pretty good tag match. You know, the whole point was they wanted to show that Kane and Daniel Bryan could work together and that, you know, they're a formidable team. They're not this dysfunctional tag team. You know, they're always arguing with each other and they're not getting the match done. They actually worked together as a cohesive unit, but it wasn't until the Royal Rumble that there was some dissension. When Daniel Bryan got thrown out of the Rumble, he was thrown over the top rope. Kane caught him before he landed on the floor. Kane could have put Daniel Bryan back in the Royal Rumble, but he chose not to. Instead, he dropped him, and he fell right on the floor, and he was eliminated.
Totally unbelievable. Totally unbelievable. Blackjack, what was your number scale for Royal Rumble on a scale of 1 to 10?
9.5.
Wow. Captain Ivan, how about you?
I think he went to sleep.
Ivan, are you sleeping? Okay.
He went to time a match or something.
Yeah, we'll find a birthday or something like that. So this year we are at WrestleMania 29. Can you believe it? You know, I can remember WrestleMania 19 like it was yesterday. And here we are at 29. You know, JJ, do you think you can name the locations? That's where it would be good to have Ivan on for the WrestleManias.
Well, they want that big, large stadium. They want to get as many people as possible. That's where they're going to make the most money. They're going to
I understand that. But how many locations do you remember where the Royal Rumble was held?
Oh, the Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the thing is I don't really think people pay attention so much to the other pay-per-views. But I think
check that. There's a WrestleMania. Do you know, off the top of your head, I bet Blackjack knows a lot of them. Like, for example, WrestleMania 1 was in Madison Square Garden.
That was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first one back
the
in
the heavy still the best, the far best. The concept was great. You can't trust one, but I guess in years to try to perfect it, but I still always will remember the first one.
Oh, no question.
Special. Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, Rowdy Piper, Jimmy Snuka was there, Andre the Giant was there. I mean, they had a lot of celebrities.
Liberace, Muhammad Ali,
Cindy, Wendy Richter.
Now you got to deal with Honey Boo Boo type of people who's going might headline the star celebrities for this year.
Oh, God. And boy, I don't think that'll be too good if that happens.
Last year they had that there was Snooki there.
Snooki was there
2 years ago.
Oh yeah, she was there with Trish Stratus and John Morrison.
Maria Menudo, she was nice.
She did a good move. Yeah, she did that one move, which was pretty good.
That's why
and
she
that
got pregnant.
Right. But you remember WrestleMania 2? I think that's when they had in three different locations.
Yeah.
And one location was Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
One location was the L.A. Forum.
Yeah.
And the third location might have been Chicago.
You got it. The Rosemont
They had
Horizon.
That Chicago Bear guy.
Oh, right.
Refrigerator Perry. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. From the Bears.
Yeah. He was in it.
Yeah, that was Hulk Hogan and Bundy in the cage. You know, they built that up on Saturday night's main event. And I'll tell you, that was epic. I remember being very young watching that and really into it, I'll tell you. You know, I might have thought wrestling was real back then. It sure was much more interesting, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, there was that real element where you believed in Hulk Hogan, you know, that whole Hulkamania. It was real to a lot of people. They believed in him. They wanted to see him defeat this, you know, the giant of a man, King Kong Bundy, who was this, you know, real threat to the WWE title. Well, back then with WWF.
Oh, no question. And then you had WrestleMania 3. I remember that was great.
Yeah, they brought Mr. T back, right? Or no, what was it?
No, they had Andre versus...
Right, yeah. Yeah, how could I forget? That was the body slam that was seen around the world.
Absolutely, and you had that one of the, you know, one of the classic matches of all time, Ricky Steamboat, and that was my favorite match, Ricky Steamboat and...
Macho
Man Randy Savage. You remember that fact, Jake?
Most definitely.
Yeah. And appears we have a call. Let's go to Brooklyn, and I believe this is Michael in Brooklyn.
Mikey D
in Brooklyn. Good evening.
What up, Jordan?
All right, you're on the hotline with Blackjack Brown and JJ Chicago. You have a question, thought?
No questions.
Okay.
Just calling in, checking on the show.
All right, we're talking past WrestleManias. Do you have a past WrestleMania that you like that you always remember?
What'd you say? I can't hear you.
A past WrestleMania.
Past WrestleMania. You know which one I like? I liked Bobby Lashley versus Umaga.
Oh, that was with Vince and...
23. That was 23.
Oh, that was a good one. That was definitely a good one. Do you remember that one?
I like the one with Cena and Shawn Michaels.
I think that was the same one, 23, right?
Yes, absolutely. And where was 23, JJ?
23, I believe, was in Detroit, Michigan.
And, Mike, did you know that was... Did you think that Rock was going to win the belt on Sunday?
I wasn't sure because, like, he's been out of the game for a while.
Absolutely, no question. And who is
I've
your
pick? I've been predicting that since last year. Where's everybody?
Well, you have a prediction for the Rock versus Cena at WrestleMania?
No, can't say nothing, yeah.
Questionable outcome, that's for sure. I would love to see him keep it for the rest of the year. But due to his schedule, and he's got like four movies coming out.
Yeah.
Four. You go in the theater and you see his picture, and for the upcoming movies coming in between February and April. He's got four movies.
I know. He's got a movie called Snitch, which
Snitch,
comes out in
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe in March. Pain and Gain in April, and Fast and Furious 6 in May.
And then he's got that
Fast
other
and
movie.
Furious?
Yeah, he's
Fast
got another movie with Wahlberg.
Fast and Furious part. Didn't they have other parts of that one?
They had five. He was in the fifth movie. Now they're filming the sixth, and that's going to be in theaters May 24th.
I didn't even hear about that movie. It should be good, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, Mike, what did you think of the return of Brock Lesnar last night on Raw?
It's exciting for the fans and everything.
Totally agree with you.
What do you make, only two appearances last year? Two or three?
Yeah. Just,
it
five. Well, he had two matches, and then he may have had maybe two.
Yeah, a match with Cena. And a match with Triple H.
And that's it.
That's the only thing I remember.
Well, he had some appearances on Raw, but all he said was...
Well, Mike, thanks for calling into the radio.
No problem, no problem.
All right, Mike.
So, we have... what were we talking about here? We WrestleMania 4,
yeah.
I was up to... And what was that match? It was either Hogan, Hogan...
Macho Man.
Hogan Macho Man?
Yeah, they had a tournament for the WWF title.
Oh, okay.
That was the tournament.
So wasn't it Macho Man versus Ted DiBiase?
Yeah, I think it was, Savage versus Ted DiBiase. But Hogan interfered, and he hit DiBiase with a chair.
Oh, no question. No question. That was a great WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, Macho Man winning the title, I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And let's see. Where are we? WrestleMania 5-6.
Five.
That was the Macho Man.
Yeah. Macho Man was the WWF champion, and he took on Hulk Hogan.
And Trump?
Yeah, a lot of people would say that was their favorite match of all time. That was
Atlantic, New Jersey.
That was in Toronto, actually, WrestleMania 6, wasn't it?
WrestleMania 6?
And you were there, Blackjack, right?
Yeah, it had to be Warrior against Hogan.
Yeah, that was in Toronto. And I think a lot of people in the building were shocked to see the Warrior take it. I mean, I was watching from afar, and I was shocked. And I didn't know about, the inside at that time. I was too young.
I was in the Daily News at that time.
Uh-huh.
I talked about it at that time. That major upset, Ultimate Warrior. No one wanted to believe it.
Oh, you predicted even back then in 1990?
Yeah, I was doing that kind of weird stuff back then too. So,
holy cow! Oh wow! But yeah, they had that match. They think that was the debut year of the Undertaker, as he took on Superfly Jimmy Snuka. And, of course, fans were looking back at WrestleMania because we're getting close to it. The number to hang is 347-857-2950. And Blackjack, have you been keeping up with the trial of Jody Arez?
Who the heck is that?
I guess she's the girl that stabbed her boyfriend at the time 27 times.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I don't remember the person's name. Is that who it is? I ain't even following it too closely like that.
They're covering it like they covered the Casey Anthony case.
I'll wait till it gets as big.
Yeah. But, let me play you guys a piece from Jody Arez. We'll take a little break. Here's all you need to know about Jody Arez. We'll come back and talk some more wrestling. We'll talk about WrestleMania 8. We'll come back in about 6 minutes. Okay, guys, take a listen.
We're going to bring you the latest in a twisted tale of love turned deadly, centering around a young woman accused of stabbing, shooting, and slashing her one-time boyfriend. As the gruesome details of this crime have been exposed in court, the bizarre turns just keep on coming, including explosive testimony from the other man in her life. ABC's Ryan Owens brings us the latest from Phoenix, Arizona.
Admitted killer Jody Arez has sobbed every day she's been on trial for the murder of her ex-boyfriend Travis Alexander. But prosecutors say tears shouldn't be enough to save her life. They say the petite, soft-spoken 32-year-old deserves to die because Alexander's death was so heinous. He was found butchered in the shower of his Mesa, Arizona home in June of 2008. He'd been stabbed 27 times, his throat was slit so deep he was almost decapitated, and he was shot in the head.
Nothing but the truth to help you guys.
The testimony of Ryan Burns this week may have made her look even worse. He was a romantic interest of Jody Arez, who she visited in Utah less than 24 hours after she committed the crime.
What was her demeanor like?
She was fine. She was laughing about simple little things, just like any other person. I never once felt there was anything wrong.
Burns told the jury, right after killing one man, she was kissing another.
At some point, I mean, we were talking and we kissed.
And did this kissing continue or did it just stop at one kiss?
Eventually we kissed probably many times. Every time we started kissing, it got a little more escalated.
His testimony is especially damaging because Jody Arez says she killed Travis Alexander in self-defense.
Okay, I got a better actually thing that finished uploading. Blackjack, you still with us? Okay, great. Okay. Yeah, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to play you the new rock theme. So when we come back, we'll talk more wrestling. Of course, you guys want to call 347-857-2950.
Yeah, Captain, I haven't called back. He got cut off or something. Where's he at?
Yeah, hopefully Mr. Ivan will come back. But here is the brand new rock theme. It sounds interesting. If you want to take a break, get yourself some water or something, go right ahead. We'll be back in 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and we'll finish talking about WrestleMania. Okay, here we go.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
have it, the new rock song, and coming up WrestleMania 29 at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. It's not in New York, although they'll promote it like it's in New York, but New Jersey and New York are very different. Ain't that right, Blackhead?
Most definitely.
Absolutely. Okay, we're up to WrestleMania 8, I believe. And you featured Hulk Hogan versus Sid, and that was supposed to be Hulk Hogan's first retirement out of maybe 30 if he lost. Also, you had the Macho Man Randy Savage taking on Ric Flair for the world title, and Macho Man won his match. There was no contest with Sid and the Warrior, and out come came Papa Shango and Harvey Whippleman, Ivan Dvoy, and then Bobby Heenan, I'll never forget it, this is back in 92. Heenan said he ain't got a friend left, and out pops out the Warrior, looking, you know, not on juice at the time, with a different type of haircut, maybe a little bit more normal back then. Maybe just a drop, but in any event, WrestleMania 8 in Indianapolis. I like that WrestleMania. I would give that a, wow, I'd probably give that one an 8. What about you, Blackjack?
I'd give it about probably about the same.
Well, I like the Hart versus Rowdy Piper, man. That was a great match.
Hart versus Piper on 8, right?
Yeah. For the Intercontinental title.
That was the Intercontinental title. I totally forgot about that match.
Oh,
absolutely. That was action-packed. You know, Bret Hart going and winning the IC title. Totally tremendous. Totally tremendous. And I tell you, those first 8 WrestleManias, to me, you'll never be able to get them back. And, you know, after those 8, you don't get much better. But the following one was weird. I think Hulk Hogan punched out Macho Man the night before. You remember that one, Blackjack?
I've heard some talk about it.
Over Elizabeth?
But over his house?
Yeah, Macho Man, Hulk Hogan got a black eye or something, or Macho Man had a black eye. But anyway, it was...
he took the title away from Yokozuna Hogan when he had the black eye?
Right. The first match, Hogan wrestled twice for probably the first time in his life. But in the first match, you had Hulk Hogan teaming up with Brutus. Money against Money Incorporated. Then later in the night, it was Bret the Hitman Hart losing to Yokozuna. I remember Mr. Fuji grabbing the mic and says,
basically, I'll give you first crack at the title, you American.
Yeah, with that accent and everything. And where Bret was with Hogan and he waved at him, go ahead, this is. You know, little did we know, as I was in grade school then, that Bret Hart was probably saying, go fuck yourself, Hogan, get in there, you horrible politician. But anyway, at that time, to me, Bret Hart was saying, go get him, Hulk, go get him. So in about 40 to 60 seconds, Hulk Hogan defeated Yokozuna. And then only to wrestle a couple more times and lose it back to Yokozuna the following year. Or the following, later that year at King of the Ring. You guys remember that?
Most definitely.
Yeah, when Yoko
How
got
can you?
Yeah. That one I'll give a 6. I wasn't that crazy about it. What do you guys give that one?
Yeah, WrestleMania 9. Yeah, it's not one that I remember too much. And for me, being a fan of Bret Hart, to see him lose the title to Yoko because of the powder to the face, and then Hogan just comes in. Hogan, who kind of, well, like I said, back then it was a lot different than the whole politics of Hogan just walking in and just getting the title. It's, I didn't like it.
No. Are you familiar with the guy Dallas and NXT, JJ?
I do not follow NXT, but I do know this new guy, Bo Dallas. He just came up from NXT. They put him in the Royal Rumble. They're saying he's a third-generation superstar. His grandfather was Blackjack Mulligan. His uncle was, I think, Barry Windham. So this guy, he's someone who you should be on the lookout for. Third generation. There aren't too many third-generation superstars right now. I mean, besides The Rock, Randy Orton, these guys are huge stars. And now you got someone like Bo Dallas, who this is his first day at the job, practically. So all eyes are on him.
Yeah, I got a clip from Bo Dallas, and I think you fans should take a listen. Here is Bo Dallas.
Look at him wind that thing up like Stan Hansen.
Yeah,
Bo Dallas is about to go to sleep.
Wade Barrett going for the bull hammer. Oh, Dallas caught him off the slab. Hook of the leg. Oh, my God. Bo Dallas. Oh, my God.
You got to be kidding me.
He's an Intercontinental Champion. Oh, my God. Done it. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a career-altering win for Bo Dallas.
Bo, quite a week for you already. Tonight, Monday Night Raw, you get a win over the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett. Take us through this week for you.
The week started off with the NXT tournament, and I won my spot in the Royal Rumble. And that was huge. And then I went on and came out at spot 16, and I eliminated Wade Barrett, which was enormous. And you know, you can say every dog has a day, and you know, I might have thought that myself, but I came out the year tonight in Raw, and I just beat the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett. I really don't know what to say. All I know is I gave it everything I got, and this is what came out of it, man. So for right now, I'm just out of my mind, stoked.
You seem to have almost a little bit of disbelief. Is it tough sinking in for you that this is all happening so quickly?
Yeah, this is crazy. It's my dream, and now that it's actually coming true, it's unbelievable, man. I always thought maybe it could have happened, but it's really happening right now. This is mind-blowing, man.
Come on, big guy. Don't take yourself so seriously. You can do this. Give me a little tap.
Oh, my God, damn it. Looks like Akebono crossed with a bunny ranch. What the...
Damn!
Excuse me, Tensai. The WWE Universe saw a different side of you tonight here on Raw. Care to comment?
No, I don't care to comment. Do you think I'm proud of that? Great that I may look good in this, but I am not proud of this.
With all due respect, You kind of seem like you're having some fun out there.
It wasn't fun. It wasn't very innocent. Hey, I am proud of you. Sorry about the lingerie thing. I'm sorry. I had your number.
Where was your lingerie?
They changed the thing. I swear. I tried to call you. I sent you a letter. A carrier pigeon. It was all kind of... fucking Dacos. They must have forgot. But forget all that. You did great out there. You had a way to crowd cheer for you.
Look at this.
Well, we'll get rid of that. We'll get you a hat and a tracksuit, you know. There's always room on planet something. You did great. I'm proud of you. You should have your head up. You did really good. And, you know, not a lot of guys can pull that off. And you did that. Proud of you.
How you on the look?
He's not even reading the words right.
That crazy.
What?
Sexy boy.
Don't read the words.
I'm not you, diet. Sexy boy.
We have subtitles.
I'm not you, diet. Sexy boy.
What?
Shawn Michaels is rolling over in his grave and he's not even dead.
Where is my gong?
Zach, you never got to get a song off in WWE karaoke, but the great Khali did. Just wanted to get your thoughts.
The great Khali is a horrible singer. He's my broski, but a horrible singer. Have you heard my song, Hoski?
I have.
WWE Universe, have you heard it? If not, here's a little sample. Roses are red and violets are blue. You may have left me, but I still woo, woo, woo. That's it.
That was a clip on Bo Dallas, and I think, JJ, you're right. Watch out for this guy, right?
They're going to be pushing for him. I think, like I said, you look at third-generation superstars, The Rock, Randy Orton, and now this guy, Bo Dallas. He got a win over the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett. He threw out Wade Barrett in the Royal Rumble. I mean, they're really giving this guy some opportunities, so we got to see if he's going to take off or not.
Absolutely. And Blackjack, today is referee Billy Caputa's birthday. So let's give him a happy birthday shout-out.
Happy birthday to Billy Caputa.
Happy birthday.
One of the greatest referees of all time.
Absolutely. He came on my hotline when it was a hotline. I'm sure he came on yours. He helped me out a lot as a referee and when I was hosting it. But, happy birthday, Billy, and many more. Okay, we were still talking WrestleMania, and we were finishing up 9. 9, I'll give that a 5. JJ, what do you give WrestleMania 9?
Yeah, WrestleMania 9, it's hard to really, I'm not going to give it a bad rating, but it was, for WrestleMania, it was a good show. I mean, the fans, if you're a Hulkamaniac, you loved it. You got the title back. It was, you know, they rejoiced. But for me, I would have to say, you know, maybe about an 8 or a 9, too. I mean, I didn't like seeing my guy lose. That, you know, that bothered me.
Well, no question. And, you know, what bothered me is that I wasn't a WCW fan around the time of 93, 94. I don't know if you were, but I certainly wasn't. And to see my best buddy, Hulk Hogan, at the time, next to the Ultimate Warrior, of course, go over to WCW, I kind of lost interest in Hogan. And it was really sad to see Hogan go. The WWE, to me, you know, they were trying to build around Lex Luger and Bret Hart and Shawn and stuff like that. But once the Hulkster left, even though in hindsight it was a good idea because you got the NWO, you got you know, WCW Nitro out of that, you got a lot of good things.
That's
but
right.
For me personally, it was very hard just to watch WCW until 96 when you had the Monday Night Wars.
That's great.
Absolutely. So, speaking of that, WrestleMania 10, which the only old guy you had for the old generation was Macho Man, as he took on Crush, and I believe a street fight. You remember that?
Oh, I remember. Everybody had the false count anywhere match. Crush was there, and they took the fight throughout the arena. And, you know, Macho and Crush went at it. You know, it was kind of like a fun false count anywhere match. Really, you know, it was a good brawl.
And Owen Hart against his brother Bret Hart, and Owen Hart won that?
They opened up WrestleMania. It started off where Owen defeated Bret in a really great classic wrestling match. And he didn't cheat. He didn't pull the tights. He didn't hold the ropes. He didn't throw salt in his face. He won with a victory roll. I mean,
He won fair and square.
And he was the bad guy. Bret, who had won the Royal Rumble, was supposed to headline WrestleMania with Lex Luger and Yokozuna. Luger got his shot at Yokozuna. Luger lost. And Bret would then get another opportunity later in the night to be the main event to fight Yokozuna, despite the fact that he lost.
Lex Luger, he got eliminated. What happened with that? Do you remember? Somebody was the ref.
Mr. Perfect.
Right.
Mr. Perfect was the guest referee, and Yokozuna, he defeated Lex Luger.
Oh, wow. And Blackjack, what are your memories of WrestleMania 10? Were you in the building there?
I'm trying to recollect myself here.
Madison Square Garden. Yeah,
yeah, I was there.
10.
That was 94. It was a big time for New York in Madison Square Garden. The Rangers won the title. The Knicks got to the title. But it was a big year in New York history.
Thank God, I guess, for all these computers to give you reminders on stuff like that, because, man, can't remember things as you used to, you know, but sometimes you got to rely on these computers.
Oh, 100%. And that year, 94, during one of the games in New York, they had to switch over because OJ was running away. So you had, they took away game 3, I believe it was, to show you OJ
yeah.
who was running away from the cops.
On the highway, and there was this
on the highway chase.
What did he have to do with WrestleMania?
What's that?
What did
well,
he have
I'm
to
not,
do with
it? Well, no, it has to do with 94. And I'm saying that year was a very big year. But WrestleMania 11, I'll tell you that could have been one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. What was that? Diesel versus Shawn in Connecticut?
Yeah, Hartford, Connecticut.
Owen Hart and his mystery partner, who was Yokozuna,
mm-hmm.
I believe, beat Smoking Guns.
That's right.
And, of course, who could forget LT, Lawrence Taylor, losing to Bam Bam Bigelow.
I thought that was my memory is that I was able to shoot ringside for that. They let all the photographers shoot at ringside. And that was one of the best memories of that match for me.
Really?
I definitely will ever forget that. You can look it up on the on that YouTube stuff, which I was saying before, and you can see. I was standing on the side with the football players taking photos.
Wow, I definitely got to check that out.
Definitely.
That's awesome. Cool.
Okay, we'll go talk about WrestleMania 12. Take a listen to the Impact Post Show with Jerry Brooks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Impact Post Show. It's JB, Jeremy Borash. Quite a chaotic week. We're getting ready. We're getting packed ahead to the UK. We have a bit of an abbreviated version this week, but we wanted to let you know that all of February, Impact Wrestling will be originating from the United Kingdom. So we're looking forward to heading over to Manchester, headed to London, TNA Impact, Maximum Impact, Road to Lockdown Tour, and it is hitting the United Kingdom. Should be a very exciting time. Impact Wrestling and the great fans of the UK. What a night it was. Jeff Hardy, obviously, what we saw go down tonight, the continuation of the dominance of Aces and Eights. If Taz making the jump wasn't enough, how about what we saw tonight and how about the damage done to Jeff Hardy? Wow, certainly a big match, big victory for Hardy over Christopher Daniels, but what happened afterwards? Nothing short of ruthless by Aces and Eights. A lot to talk about. Let's bring in Joseph Park. You made it known tonight that you are going to be headed to Manchester. Open fight night next Thursday, and it is your time to step into the ring and call somebody out.
Jeremy, that's right. I mean, Manchester, England, 1 week from today, JB. 1 week from today, it'll go down. My first match, open fight night. Who, JB? Who should I call, right? Huh? You have any suggestions?
Well, there's a lot of people over there you could
call.
Who would
you recommend, Jeremy?
Well, it's obviously somebody you want to be in the ring with and dominate, right? I'm sure it's...
Jeremy, but I still would like a challenge. I would like it to be competitive, and I feel like I need to challenge myself. This is early on in my young career here at Impact Wrestling, without a doubt. You know, Jeremy, I'm probably going to go ahead and take the week and deliberate. watch some videos of the Impact roster, make some copious notes, and make my decision actually that night in the ring in Manchester. I will make that decision, Jeremy. So the world awaits, so to speak.
I'll tell you what. Do I personally, are you going to make me wait till that long, or are you going to keep
that,
Jeremy, a secret?
You are still a great friend of my brother Chris, you know, Biff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll share anything with you. And he's told me a little bit about the allegedly shady dealings of you and he on the road in the past, but we won't get into that right here on this interview right now. We'll talk about that later on.
Yeah.
Jeremy, I am not licensed to practice law overseas and out of the United States, but I am licensed to wrestle. And JB, it's about time to put some hustle behind this muscle, so to speak. So in Manchester, open fight night, whoever it is, I'm going in that ring, and I'm holding court the way I would. And JB, when I leave Manchester, I'm leaving victorious. I promise you, I'm not leaving. I can't leave.
I'm just curious who you're gonna call out. So maybe, what's that term? One of those insider terms you said? You gonna?
JB, come on now. You don't know any of these insider terms, but KFAB is the term you're looking for. And I don't want to KFAB you, JB, and I'm not. If I knew who I was going to call out, I'd tell you right now in front of the whole world. But I really don't know right now, and I'm not trying to KFAB the listening audience out there as well either. But I will say this. It's going to be a process, a deliberation. I'm going to go ahead and do some pros and some cons. You know, I mean, I got everything to choose from here. I've got Samoa Joe, which might be a little bit more than I can bite off the chew right now.
Yeah,
I think so. You know.
I got somebody you can call out.
Woo.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes. She's gone.
Who is it?
That's Taryn Terrell.
Taryn Terrell was right here?
She was here a second ago. Where'd Taryn Terrell go? She leave? She must have left. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I'll go get Taryn Terrell. And then maybe she'll have somebody. Maybe she'll have an idea of who you can call out.
She is really good looking.
Oh, she is. We're coming back with more. This is The Post Show on ImpactWrestling.com. Stay right here.
Okay, Jeremy Boyer, score of TNA.com or ImpactWrestling.com. And what's that guy's name? Did we get his name?
Joseph Parks.
Joseph Parks. Now, what's the story? He's the brother of Abyss or
that's
friend?
That's the story. What? They're brothers.
Oh, okay. Now, you... Was it you the one that told me that there's only 4 pay-per-views?
That's right. Well, actually, I'd like to say really quick, Blackjack broke the news that Kurt Angle had mentioned that he has about 2 or 3 years left before he retires. So he might retire while at TNA.
Who's that?
Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah.
You wrote that in the Chicago Sun-Times this past Sunday.
Right.
I just wanted to get that. But yeah. They have 4 pay-per-views. They won't have a pay-per-view in February. They had their January pay-per-view Genesis, and their next pay-per-view is Lockdown March 10th.
Yeah, then Lockdown is when?
March 10th.
March 10th? Okay.
Yeah.
So do they have a pay-per-view in April?
There's no pay-per-view in April or May. Their next one would be Slammiversary. That's their anniversary show, and that's June 9th.
And there would be one more pay-per-view. That would be what, Bound for Glory?
That's right. The last pay-per-view of the year would be Bound for Glory in October.
So as we stand, the next pay-per-view is when?
The next pay-per-view for TNA Wrestling is Lockdown March 10th.
What do you think? Good idea, bad idea, undecided in terms of the 4 pay-per-views?
I think it's great. I think the 12 pay-per-views, it's a lot. It's too much to see. I mean, between TNA and WWE, that's already like 24 pay-per-views. I mean, it's so hard to keep up with wrestling these days. I like that TNA is simplifying.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I definitely totally agree. Blackjack, what's your thoughts on TNA going losing basically over eight pay-per-views. And
that's
just doing
the way to go for even for the WWE at this point in time. Everything is so over-exaggerated.
Could you imagine if the WWE did that, how much more the fans would be looking forward to these pay-per-views?
That's what you
got
to do. You got to miss it a little bit, you know?
Exactly. When it's in your face every single month, you just lose the appreciation. And I bet you your bottom dollar that if they had even like eight pay-per-views a month, a year, that WrestleMania would be looked at much more, and the buy rates would triple, if not quadruple.
You would think so, but they do things in a different way, and the future here is like unbelievable, the things that they do and get accomplished, and it's just a different path altogether.
And I believe TNA's next pay-per-view will be in San Antonio, Texas.
I think so, yeah.
That would be interesting, them going into Texas. And, yeah, it's good to see the TNA travels. Of course, Monday Raw was in Nevada. And, Raw definitely had a better pep to it. You guys agree?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think with the returns of Chris Jericho, the fact that there's a new WWE champion, The Rock, Raw was a must-see show. You had to see who came back. You had to see if the title changed. And for the most part, there was that big surprise at the end. So if you watched it and if you saw Lesnar, F5, Vince McMahon, I think, Raw paid off.
JJ, I know you're not a sports fan, but do you have a pick for Sunday's 49ers versus the Ravens?
Well, because I'm a wrestling fan, I'm going to go with Raven.
There you go.
There you go.
I will pick the 49ers.
Okay.
Even though I don't follow football.
Well, it's the biggest sport next to wrestling, of course. It's the biggest sporting event. It's like WrestleMania for the
Who's
sport.
Who's got the better looking cheerleaders?
That award would go to the Dallas Cowboys. But continuing, just to let your fans know, next week we will continuing the path to the best WrestleManias. We'll go up to about 15 or 16, and then we'll finish it up next week. Let's go to WrestleMania 13. Was it WrestleMania 12, which featured Bret the Hitman Hart against Owen Hart. Bret the Hitman Hart against Shawn Michaels in a one-hour marathon match. The return of the Ultimate Warrior against Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
What else was there?
Steve Austin. Steve Austin was the ringmaster, and he took on Savio Vega.
Right. And Undertaker, did he wrestle that one?
Yeah, the Undertaker took on Diesel.
That's right. He was leaving to WCW at the time. I thought that was a great WrestleMania. Bret Hart match was amazing, very long.
The Iron Man match was phenomenal. The fact that they wrestled just nonstop for 60 minutes and nobody got a pinfall. It was a draw. And it was a believable draw. It wasn't like, it was a draw of a crappy ending. You believed it. They both went balls to the wall. Bret Hart, and I give a lot of credit to Sean. Sean, he was amazing throughout the match, one of the best performers in wrestling, and they had one of the best WrestleMania matches ever.
And Blackjack, you were sitting front row for that, right? Blackjack, you were sitting in the front row for that, right?
Most definitely. It was a good match.
Right, and if you take out your DVD and you put it in, you could see Black Jack Brown in the front
right
row with his camera, and also that night you had the return of the Ultimate Warrior, and you know, it was shaking over there in Cali as he took on a younger nothing with compared to how he is now, Triple H.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley, he came out with Gable.
Yeah.
And that was the thing then, and Ultimate Warrior came out, you know, before you could blink, the match was over. But then they yeah. In any event, it was a good show.
Yeah.
With a lot of good stuff, especially Bret Hart, you know. That went into overtime, I believe.
Yeah, Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla Monsoon came out and said that there was going to be a finish to the match and that they would go into a sudden death overtime.
Right. First, Bret Hart started making his way down the aisle because
the match was over. He was ready to leave.
Yeah. He was pissed. And then out came a late Gorilla Monsoon and said, due to the magnitude of this match, we're going to have to go 5 more minutes. And I remember that was a great match, and Shawn Michaels got him. Bret Hart was so irate after the match. I tell you, I was really into that WrestleMania. I'm going to give that one a 9. Yeah.
If you ask me, I'd give that a 12. That was off the hook.
Wow.
Well, if we're going to surpass numbers, I'll give it a 20. But if we're going to stay on the level,
give it a 100.
I'll give it 101. Oh, you know what we're leaving out? The Piper versus Goldust. That match, JJ.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely another memorable match that night because Rowdy Piper had this big feud with Goldust, and Goldust had his wife, Marlena, Terry Runnels. She was there. And it was just this crazy fight. It wasn't a wrestling match. It was a fight. They took it to the streets. I remember Piper throwing Goldust on a car windshield. I mean, they went all out. It was a crazy match, and the end was even more bizarre.
Then when Goldust was really in his prime, right? They made some scenes referencing that to O.J. Simpson, Chase. Remember?
that was funny.
Do you remember right before WrestleMania got underway, they had what was called Billionaire Ted, Game Gene, Nacho Man, and the Hugster. And in a geriatric match, they had Nacho Man versus the Hugster. And that was back in 1996.
Wow.
You remember that, Blackjack, when they were making fun of everybody in WCW?
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
Yeah. That's when Austin was called the Ringmaster. I believe he was managed by Ted DiBiase, isn't that right?
Yeah, he had the $1 million championship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And did you think at that point he'd become that where he eventually became?
Well, I think Steve Austin, he had it in him. He didn't have it maybe at that point because they didn't know what to do with him. They just kind of paired him up.
He just progressed himself heavily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Provision that was really good for him, and I was expecting him to come back by Mania, but I don't know if he is.
I don't know what they're going to do with Steve Austin this year. Maybe they might want to hold off and do it for next year. I don't know. He says that, you know, his knees are better.
Yeah, he wanted to go up against Punk, you know. They had words back and forth behind the scenes, and it never came to light. So it really surprises me.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I don't know if something they didn't come to terms on something. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And CM Punk will take on The Rock in the February pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, Elimination Chamber. CM Punk, he basically told The Rock that, well, despite the fact that The Rock's a WWE champion, we all know that he's only here for a selected amount of dates. Despite the fact CM Punk is going to be here tomorrow, he's going to be here Friday, he's going to do a house show on Saturday, he's going to be back on Monday. The Rock, we don't know. Maybe he'll be here, maybe he won't. But he will be at the pay-per-view in 3 weeks at the Elimination Chamber. And that's when Punk says he's going to grab, despite the fact that The Rock is the champion, Punk said, I'll give you the rematch, and you can wait 3 weeks.
Oh, totally, totally. Okay, next week, next Tuesday, we will go into talking about WrestleMania 13 through 28. We'll definitely get, you know, follow through what happened. So come back here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Also, this Thursday, 7 o'clock, will be Pearl Jr. Series 5. And you won't want to miss that. Michael Jackson faked his death to save his life. We just had Mickey Sherman on. You might want to listen to that. He talks about how he represented the Iron Sheik. It's a good listen, so give that. And everybody out there, enjoy the Super Bowl. I think the Frisco 49ers is going to win that.
49ers. I think they're going to win. I don't know who they are,
yeah,
but I think it's going to be them.
Yeah, I think you're right. But in any event, guys, have a good weekend. And we will catch you guys next Tuesday. Same channel, same place.
You got it. You guys take care, man. Thanks, King Jordan and Blackjack. Always a pleasure.
JJ, same here, my brother. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Where's Captain Ivan?
And that's it to that. And what we're going to do now is we're supposed to have the Mighty on. I don't know what happened to him, but I was going to talk about A-Rod with the steroids, but I will play you a clip before we get on out of here with A-Rod. Let me see if I can find it here first. A-Rod. Don't worry, I got it here. Okay, here's Stephen A. Smith going off on A-Rod. Well, this will be explained, everything in the video. And then after that, I'm going to see you guys on Thursday.
Now that these reports are out, the question is, what do you make of this?
First of all, I'm praying that it's not true. If it is true, I think legitimate action should be made to strip Alex Rodriguez of whatever relevancy he has to the game of baseball. I'm really getting sick and tired of this. This is really starting to tick me off, okay? Because the absence of production from this dude due to his injuries is really getting on my nerves. Now, I'm going to assume, Skip, that if indeed he was taking any performance-enhancing substances, I'm going to assume it's not necessarily for performance enhancement. He has had the hip surgeries. There is a lot that he's going through, and they talk about it's for recuperative measures, whatever the case may be. But the dude signed a contract for $275 million with bonuses that would elevate it to $300 million, and he has looked like anything but. The last two years, he's had 16 home runs and 18 homers. This is after hitting 52, 57, 47, 48, 36, 54 home runs in 2007. The list goes on and on. His production has been flagrantly diminishing. Okay? And don't even get me started with the postseason. He had a good postseason when they won the World Series. Outside of that, the last four playoff series he's been in, he's batted 190, he's batted 111 twice, and he's batted 125. Damn it, I could do that. And I'm telling you, it's starting to get on my nerves. I mean, this is serious. These are my Yankees that we're talking about here. You keep that face approved. Don't you start smiling. It's not funny, Skip. It's not funny. Okay? This is serious.
Making me laugh over here.
I'm tired of this guy being in the news for everything other than production.
Okay. Time out.
Why?
Why wouldn't you be happy that he tried to use the HGH to get better? Because were they testing for it last year?
You know what? I don't even know the answer to that question.
They were not. This will be the first year that in season they are going to needle test for HGH, which is the only real way to prove whether you're
HGH. So in other words, you're telling me that because they weren't testing last year, it's legitimate.
Remember, big difference between anabolic steroids, HGH.
Okay.
Human growth hormone is more about healing and recovery.
Okay.
Not that I'm saying it should be illegal, because it does give you some edge in that department. But if your sport isn't testing for it, can you condemn him?
No.
For reaching for it?
No.
Or in desperation? His body's breaking down. He's going on 37 years of age. And he says, man, I'm desperate. My hip won't heal. I can't turn on the ball the way I used to. Can you blame him? It's hard to blame him if your sport doesn't say, we got to test for it, and your union doesn't agree. We need to test for it. We need to clean this up.
Okay.
Because I got to believe that hundreds of baseball players have used HGH.
You know what? But hundreds of baseball players ain't getting paid what he's getting paid. And I understand if you're doing it for recuperative measures. Okay. I get all of that. Where I have a problem, you got to remember, while everybody was sitting there lambasting this dude and going off about the fact that he had used performance-enhancing drugs years ago, I was the one that got mad at him because he stopped. I said, you would just stop in September for him. You're going to cheat. Keep cheating through October. What the hell you stopping September for? I need you in the postseason. That was my problem with him. So now here we go, and we fast forward to 2012 and beyond. You looking horrible. You just can't swing. You can't hit a fastball to save your life. A fastball,
he looks
hit
washed
a fastball.
Up.
He looks completely washed up with 6 years to go, averaging $24 million. I mean, this is some sad, sad stuff. So whatever you got to do, all I'm trying to say is that do it in a fashion that's not going to jeopardize your ability to produce for the Yankees. That's all I'm knocking them for. If this report has no effect on him being on the field this season and making sure that he can go out there and perform, I'm good with it. If it's a problem, I'm going to have a problem with him, because I'm tired of him sitting on the sidelines with everybody else and not balling when it's time to bust.
Gotta be honest, ironic. The sound from the brothers out of the desert. Something real. So let me put this wheel up. Come on in, baby.
Hope you picking them up to find a job.
Yeah, we're going to work so we can grow up and be just like you.
Hey, y'all going to the picnic today?
Yeah, thought you knew.
Hey, Snoop!
One, two. Bringing to the folks, Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
Cause you know we're about to rip shit up.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-Bang, baby. Too low depth, nigga, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake it. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand. From a young G's perspective. And before me digging a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man. And at the same time, burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal, holy feel. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this, Santa. It's like that and like this and like that, Anna. It's like this and like that and like this, Santa. Drake creep to the mic like a fan.
Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping. But I damn near got caught, cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You never been on a ride like this before. With a producer who can rap and control the maestro. At the same time with the dope rhyme that I kick. You know and I know I flow some old funky shit. To add to my collection, this selection symbolizes dope. Take a toast but don't choke. If you do, you have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this.
Then who gives a fuck about those?
So just chill to the next episode. On that ass, what a hell of a gangster lean. Getting funky on the mic like an old batch of collard green. It's the capital S O S, I'm fresh and double O P D O double G Y D O double G. You see, showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic, pimping hoes and clocking a grip like my name was Dolomite. Yeah, and it don't quit. I think they in the mood for some motherfucking G shit.
Hell yeah.
So Drake,
what up,
gotta give 'em what they want.
What's that G?
We gotta break 'em off something.
Hell yeah.
And it's gotta be bumping.
City of Compton, where it takes place, so when I show attention, mobbing like a motherfucker, but I ain't lynching. Dropping the funky shit that's making the sucker niggas mumble. When I'm on the mic, it's like a cookie, they all crumble. Try to get close, then your ass will get smacked. My motherfucking homie, Doggy Dogg, has got my back. Never let me slip, cause if I slip, then I'm slipping. But if I got my Nina, then you know I'm straight tripping. And I'ma continue to put the rap down, put the Mac down. And if your bitches talk shit, I have to put the smack down. Yeah, and you don't stop. I told you I'm just like a clock when I tick and I sock. But I'm never off, always on till the break of dawn. See you when PTO win and the city they call Long Beach. Putting the shit together like my nigga DOC. No one can do it better
like this. That and this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this.
Then who gives a fuck about those?
So just chill to the next episode.
Thank you. Slash, you're amazing. You're awesome. Thank you. Listen. Thank you. I love you. Some of us like to play it safe and take each day as it comes. Some of us like to take that crazy walk on the wild side. So, for those of us who like living dangerously, this one's for you. Thank you. Thank you. And for all of those of you who made this record number one, I dedicate this to you. Another day is gone.
I'm here with you, though you're far.